Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Excited for the show today. We've got a great new book, pretty recently out, that is a wonderful read. It's titled Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons, and we'll be talking with the author, Chris Hardy, coming up pretty quickly here. And I first wanted to mention our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your WPR listening. And by we, I mean Kate Archer Kent, co-host of Wisconsin Today.
Thanks, Larry. It's so great to be here with you. And Larry and I want to say that it is listener support that makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on. And that's why your gift now during the Larry Mueller Show at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Yeah, member drives are an important time to make sure the funding is in place for the news and the information you rely on here at WPR. And your gift funds the Larry Mueller Show as well as all the other WPR shows you value. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And perhaps reflect on what public radio means. Public radio is listener-supported radio.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate all funding streams, but listener support is our largest and most reliable source of funding for WPR. Your contribution, any amount, really matters at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give, when you're a part of it. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
So make that first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. Starts with your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This drive, 10 Wisconsin Public Radio fans will win a WPR prize pack, including
apparel,
a mug,
a puzzle,
other WPR swag.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. You can find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. The easiest way to enter the WPR prize pack drawing is to make a gift of any amount. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. This is our spring member drive. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift of $10 or $20 a month, or maybe $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it has an important impact.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now in this moment is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time in the midday. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And maybe you donated a few years back and you feel like you've done your part. Well, it's your continued support that makes the Larry Mueller Show, all the news, the vibrant classical music on WPR, it makes it all possible today and into the future.
If it's been a while since you donated, I donated
I like the dramatic pause there.
Well, I was thinking about when did I last donate? Yeah. Well, it was yesterday.
There you
about
go.
1:30. Oh, man. If it's been a while since you donated, this is the perfect time to review
or renew
at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Glad to have you back.
Get in on the drawing for a WPR prize pack. 10 lucky winners will get an exciting assortment of WPR gear. Think about all that swag. And you get a Wisconsin State Park pass in that allotment. Your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It enters you into the drawing. And sustainers, thank you so much. You are automatically entered, but we do welcome your extra gift.
And I would invite you to add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe as soft and stylish. You look at it.
Just
I thought
like
it was
Larry
like,
Mueller.
Yeah, stylish. Oh, my gosh. What a clothes horse I am. Oh, man. It's a cool T-shirt, and I'm gonna, I know this summer I'm gonna see that T-shirt all over the station. Everybody wears the WPR T-shirts here and elsewhere, and you'll want one. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I want to give a shout out to Sarah in Madison, who says WPR is vital. Sarah, thank you so much for your support. Join Sarah now with your gift. It's powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
Thank you so much. We're going to turn our attention now to the book that we're going to be talking about today. I had so much fun reading this book. It's titled Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons. And we're talking about it with our author, Chris Hardy. Chris and his wife, Sherry, raised sheep and cattle on his great-grandparents' Jackson County farm. Chris spent nearly 30 years, if I'm not mistaken, in the newspaper industry. He was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize in 2001. And since 2015, he's written a weekly column for Wisconsin newspapers about rural life. So those newspaper articles have turned into a book. Have you read Back Home? Tell us which stories are your favorite. Or maybe you could share some of your own memories about growing up in a rural part of the state. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Chris Hardy, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Larry. It's very much a pleasure to be here.
How are things going on the farm this spring so far?
Well, so far it's actually been an okay spring. We've had some blizzards or some Aprils where we've had a blizzard every weekend, so at least we've avoided that. We've been working the soil. The biggest project this spring is my wife wants me to relocate much of the garden. So that's been at the top of our priority list.
Well, Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons. It's actually, it's a compilation of your columns that you've written for Wisconsin. For our Ag Review, if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin newspapers through the
years.
Yes. Yeah. What gave you the idea to gather them into a book?
Well, so when I left the newspaper industry full time in 2015, I became good friends with the editor of the Ag Review. And she said, you know, if you ever want to write a story, we'd be happy to publish it. So a couple months later, I'm out actually cutting thistles with a scythe. And I thought, you know, this is really old school. And so I thought, maybe I'll write a story about this. So I did. I sent it to Julie at the Ag Review, and she was delighted to receive it. And then put a little postscript at the end of the column that said, we're happy that he's going to write a weekly column from now on. And I said, wait a minute, that wasn't part of the deal. You know, but then I thought, I got into journalism because I like telling stories, and I advanced up the career ladder. But what really made me enjoy the craft was writing stories. And I thought, you know, I could probably do some weekly writing. It'd probably be therapeutic for me. And so I started to write those stories and received a lot of positive feedback from folks all over Wisconsin. A few years ago, I offered the columns up to any newspaper in Wisconsin. I'm the former president of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association, and I felt that that this was a good time to allow them to use those stories. And so I heard from folks all over the state when these stories would be published. And people said, when are you going to write a book? And so that's kind of what gave me the first idea.
Well, it is a great book, I'm telling you. I haven't laughed so loud at times in the book. And actually, I want to get later. We'll get to that very last story in the book, which I actually laughed until I was crying. I had tears coming down my eyes. It was fantastic. There are other times in the book where it's more contemplative, more serious. Sometimes it's sad a bit. And I'm wondering how you're able to put together, I don't know how long those pieces are. There may be, 600, 700 words, something like that?
That's a good average. Yeah, that's a good average.
How you're able to tell a story, the stories that you tell in that short a time. I mean, we're talking about two and a half pages.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because I've had a similar question from people say, well, where do you get your story ideas from? And the answer is, I don't know. Because sometimes things happen, and as many stories in the book talk about things happening on the farm, and and that's part of daily life on the farm. And we are so connected; this state is so connected to the farm industry. And I've heard from so many people that maybe they didn't grow up on a farm, but they spent time on their grandparents' farm when they were children. And so to me, it's I get a story idea and I sit down, and sometimes it just flows. Sometimes I have to work at it a little bit. But I try to tell the story. If we were sitting here right now, I like to write the story as if I were telling it to you. And I think maybe that's how I'm able to kind of condense those stories down into succinct points, but also on points where people can relate to.
Yeah, well, you certainly do that. Maybe you could talk about, you have an affinity for this land where you live and work.
Yes, I certainly do. So my great-grandparents moved to this farm in 1921 is when they came to the farm. They were not the first generation farmers, or they weren't the first farmers. They purchased it from another farmer. But our ancestral farm was about 10 miles away. And my great grandfather did not get to take over that farm, so they had to start out on their own, and they had to carve out a living on 160 acres, which the farm became larger down the road. But just as they were getting started, they had a barn fire in 1925. In October of that year, their hay barn started on fire. Nobody knows. It likely was spontaneous combustion from the hay, and the sparks started to spread and their house started on fire, and they were able to get some possessions out, but they lost their house. Wow. And just as they were recovering from that, then the Great Depression hit. And so that was a little before my time. I know some folks think I was around then, but but I heard those stories from my great aunt Sarah, who lived in the house when I was a child, and that had a profound impact on me and the story of the family on that farm.
Chris Hardy, our guest today, the author of Back Home, Country Tales Through the Season. And we're going to get into some of the stories of the book as we move along and talk with more with Chris. And you can join in, too. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org. And we're in our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive, so we stop every once in a while. And Kate Archer Kent comes rushing in with her hair askew and say, hey, we got to talk some more.
Or something like that, Larry.
Something like that. Something like that. And no, she was here patiently waiting for me to turn to her.
I was listening to a cool interview about a book, Larry.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool book. And Wisconsin Public Radio is pretty cool.
Indeed, it
and
is.
And our audience is pretty cool. The largest source of our funding for our shows, as a matter of fact, comes from listeners just like you. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take that important step now when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Your gift during this spring member drive is so important, as Larry said, because it directly supports your daily listening. The trustworthy reporting, the thought-provoking conversations. Oh my goodness, all the book conversations that you get here, they're available thanks to you. So choose an amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, we talk a lot of, we give a lot of advice. So we have that kind of program pretty often. But I love having Wisconsin authors who talk about Wisconsin topics. And Chris Hardy has certainly done that in the, one of the most entertaining books I've read in quite a while. And I love to talk about it because I think it's, I want to encourage people to read it as well and learn more about Wisconsin and what it's like to be on a farm. And here we are, listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you're putting a vote in for programs like this. Maybe your life's been enriched by it. You make this hour and many more hours possible, though, when you do contribute. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
When you give today, become a sustainer. And as a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, say $10 or $15 a month, that will automatically come out of your bank account or credit card. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
Yeah, and this means we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in, day out, year in, year out. You're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So become a member right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's time for WPR's 2025 T-shirt. This cream-colored shirt features Wisconsin's beloved symbols.
A dairy cow.
A honeybee.
A wood violet.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, of course. Wear your love for WPR on your sleeve. Ask for your T-shirt when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Your support during our drive makes all of the programs that you enjoy on WPR possible. Your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Sure is. A $10 a month contribution works out to just 33 cents a day. When you think about the daily information, the inspiration, all of these conversations that you get from WPR programs, it's a really great value.
Yeah, and remember, today only, we have a drawing for a WPR prize pack. 10 lucky folks will win a box of WPR gear that you can keep for yourself. Even though I've contributed, I'm sure my name is not in the in the list to win.
You should put your own gear box together with all
of
this.
I have my
stuff.
Own gear box together. Oh my gosh! You know what? I've already got a Wisconsin State Park pass, but you will get one if you're one of the lucky winners of that WPR prize pack and a whole bunch more. Your donation, any amount at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and get you to automatically be entered.
And this spring we have another in a series of attractive and comfy WPR t-shirts that are not yet in Larry's closet, I do believe. So let the world know you're a WPR fan with this purple and orange Wisconsin-themed design on a cream-colored t-shirt. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, if you're a sustaining member, thanks a whole bunch for that. Maybe make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Maybe add $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Can I just get this in, Larry? Paula in Monona says, I love the Larry Mueller Show. Oh, mic drop.
Paula, thank you so much. Well, what about you? I mean, you don't have to love me, but I hope you love WPR. And you can make a difference right now. Make a contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Great to have you along today on WPR News, Larry Mueller, with my guest for today, author Chris Hardy. He's written a whole lot. And the book we're talking about that he's put together is titled Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons. Wonderful book, and I'm glad to have the chance to talk with him, and I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email to talk at WPR.org. Chris, you organized your book into seasons. I really like that approach, but talk about your thinking there.
Yeah, certainly the seasons are such an important part of farm life. And when I looked back at my body of work, I realized that I was writing about that pretty consistently, that many of my stories were related to the weather, what was happening on any given day. And some of my stories are reminiscing, they're going back to childhood or other stories that were weather related. And I thought, as you pointed out, this is a series of short essays. And instead of just kind of throwing them all in there, and, you know, this is a life about farming, and I thought it made sense to do it chronologically and tie them to the seasons, which I think people can relate to.
Yeah, it was a great idea. What's your favorite season on the farm?
My favorite season on the farm is definitely summer. Just because just the growth of the crops, the activity. And as you saw, I wrote a lot about baling hay.
And we're going to get to that as we go down the ride. But you started with winter, which I didn't mind at all. You would go winter, spring, summer, and fall. You end on fall. And, you know, I grew up on a farm, too. So I milked a lot of cows and did baled a lot of hay and everything else. So for me, reading this book was really, I brought back so many memories. And the first story I wanted to talk about was titled The Barn Coat.
Yes.
Because I had one of those. But tell people, what's a barn coat?
So a barn coat is, you know, when you work on a farm, you've got chore clothes. And you know, your chore clothes... I never went and bought a new pair of work jeans and then wore them out to the barn. They would be your hand-me-downs or, you know, your older clothes. Or maybe as a kid, it was the pair of pants that you really didn't like, so you accidentally wore them out to the barn. So they would become your chore clothes when they became stained. So the barn coat... was an older winter coat of mine that became the barn coat because the pockets started tearing and it started to become stained. And so that was the coat that I wore out to do the chores.
And you write about that, and you get into a kind of a, I don't know, would you call it a battle? It was very funny to me. set of circumstances over time with your dad. Talk about that a little bit. It's so funny.
So I had a zipper on this barn coat that would stick. And my dad's solution to everything was his pair of pliers that he always wore because that was his handy-dandy tool. And that winter we had... Dad and I had a kind of a series of incidents, let's call them. I was carrying in wood one day, and I dropped a chunk of wood, hit him on the nose as he was sitting on the floor in a beanbag chair. So that tells you how many years ago that happened. And a few weeks later, we were out feeding livestock, and he was using his pliers to repair a feeder, and I was throwing hay bales into the feeder, and one got away from me, and I hit him in the back of the head. And so, you know, he was The score was I had two up on him, and so the zipper on my barn coat is stuck, and I said I can't get the zipper up, and Dad, who had a big deep voice, said, "I'll take care of that," and he grabbed his pliers and he grabbed the tab of the zipper. And he pulled up with all his might, and my father was a very strong man. And unfortunately, the tab of the zipper was probably made from recycled beer cans, as my dad would be fond of saying. And it gave way, which meant that my dad's big fist, along with his pliers, came straight up my chest into my chin.
Oh, boy.
And so staggered around for a couple seconds and kind of saw lights flashing, and Dad said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yep, I think we're even."
Well, you know, you do write about this at some point. You write about humor.
Yes.
Near the end, you're talking about it, and I think you say something like, "I learned a long time ago that the safest butt of jokes is yourself."
Absolutely. So, you know, nobody can get mad when you make fun of yourself. And I realized that through some self-deprecating humor, that I could tell stories, because people can see that they've been in the same situation that you have. And I think that, especially growing up on a farm, when, you know, you're having one of those days when everything's breaking down and things aren't going well, a little humor goes a long way toward helping you get to the end of the day.
Yeah. The next winter story I want to talk about was memories of a winter morning milking.
Yes.
And those brought back some memories to me. But describe what it was like to wake up on those cold winter mornings and go milk the cows.
Yeah, so we grew up on a dairy farm, obviously. And, you know, you milk twice a day. And in the winter, when it would get 20 below, the only source of heat in the barn was the body heat that came from the cows. And it was just difficult to think of crawling out of your nice warm bed and getting bundled up and going out to face that cold. And I just have very distinct memories of, you know, kind of that battle. Your boots are squeaking on the snow. You head out into the barn and you open up the barn door and it's just steam, fog in the air from the moisture and the heat that's coming from the cattle. And you hope that the water lines didn't freeze overnight, because sometimes you'd come out and a pipe had broken overnight and the barn gutters would be full of water. And so the first thing you got to do is shut the water off and fix the leak. But you still had to milk the cows, and we didn't wear gloves because we, you know, we milked with buckets until 1986. So your hands are in and out of water and it's cold. But I did find, and this was something that my dad showed to me, that you could warm your hands up right on the top of a cow's udder underneath her back leg. There would be a nice warm spot there. And that's where you'd stick your hands to try to warm them up. I'm sure the cows didn't appreciate it, but you had to do something. And I actually heard from a reader when I first wrote that column, I heard from a reader who said, "You also know about the secret place."
I knew that too. The other thing about milking, and you write about this, you get to know the cows. It's kind of, I mean, I worked with somebody else always when milking was on, but we didn't really talk, you know, much. We just worked on our own side of the barn with our milking. But you get to know those cows pretty well.
You do. And we did it the same way, Larry. We'd have, usually we'd have two guys milking and If we had a third person, they would prepare the cows, wash the udders, and move the surcingles down and help the milkers get ready. But each milker took their side of the barn. So that way, you became more familiar with those cows, and you knew which ones were going to be a little fidgety, which ones were going to be the quick milkers, which ones were going to take a little longer. It just, you know, it's again, when you do something routinely over and over again, it just kind of becomes pattern, and you get into a rhythm when you're milking those cows.
Yeah, I remember one that was really good at swishing its tail and catching you in the face, and especially if the tail had sat in the gutter before before it swished you in the face.
They were masters at that, I think. You know, even at, you know, in the middle of summer, okay, maybe there's a fly they're after, but not in the middle of the winter. They're not after flies. They're after your face.
So you said in that story, you said, I hated the hard work, then not realizing till I was older how much I learned.
Yes. There's no question, Larry, that that my career success comes directly from growing up on a farm. Because when you grow up on a farm, and, you know, I think my first chore was probably when I was about 6 or 7 years old and I had to wash the milking machines every day. You can't blame somebody else when your chores don't get done.
Nope.
And you learn that you have responsibility and that you're also part of a team and other people depend on you to get your work done. And if you're out in the middle of the field raking hay and the rake breaks down and, you know, no cell phones in those days, you figured it out. Is there something I can do to fix this? You know, how do I react and respond to this situation? But you roll up your sleeves and you get it done. And I think that hard work ethic taught me so much. And as I write about in these stories, I couldn't wait to get off the farm. I hated growing up on the farm. I you know, it was like in the summer, all my friends got to do fun stuff and I had to bale hay. And so I wanted to do something else. And so that's why I got into journalism, because I enjoyed the writing. But the farm and the land called me home, and I realized that I had missed that as a strong part in my life.
Chris Hardy, our guest today, his book, Back Home Country, Tales Through the Seasons. Great to have him with us today, and great to have you listening in as well during our spring member drive. And Kate Archer Kent back with me, and here today to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy.
Indeed.
I hope you'll support us, and support from people like you. It's the largest piece of our funding. We keep saying that. And that's why your support at WPR.org or go to 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. That's why it's so important.
That's true. And Wisconsin Public Radio is listener powered. It means your support makes WPR's news and these conversations and where to warm your hands on a cow. All of it. It is all here. And you help make that available not only for yourself, but for the entire community. I always learn something new, Larry. So thank you for making WPR's public service mission possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of times when you listen, it's kind of like going out for coffee with a friend. It's enjoyable. It's informative. It piques your curiosity.
And someone has to pay for it. At the end of the day, you make the conversations you value on this service possible with your financial support. Right now, give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sometimes you actually get more than you pay for. WPR, I think, is one of those places where that's true every day. So maybe consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
And you know you can't buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of sense. It can make a lot of the news and the information and these conversations possible. That works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I would say that if you really enjoy public radio and you listen to it even occasionally, if it does something to enlighten you on a certain point of view, then that is value. It's valuable. But nothing in life that is of value is truly free. Being a sustaining member, even if you just donate a small amount each month, you know, what it would cost you for a cup of coffee is really, really worth it if you believe in what they're doing. And I do. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, John. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our spring member drive. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
WPR is, you know, it's in your ears. It's maybe on in your car. It is on in your home. Maybe your home and your car, like me, you listen to WPR a lot. So help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. That you can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And get in on that drawing for a WPR prize pack. 10 lucky winners will get an exciting assortment of WPR swag and a Wisconsin State Park Pass is in the mix. Your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That enters you in the drawing. And sustainers, you're automatically entered, but we absolutely welcome your extra gift.
And join me, because I'm adding that WPR T-shirt to my wardrobe.
You could do it, too. I can't imagine you wouldn't, Larry. You have to keep it growing.
I have every one that we've ever done. I've got a whole closet.
I bet. I would imagine.
But they're fun. Yeah, I wear a different one every day in the summertime,
match
in spring and summer.
Yep.
Match your mood. And you know, this one's pretty cool. They call it champagne color. I don't believe that. I think it's, I don't know, it's sandy. I thought it was peach.
Okay, well, you know.
And there's lavender in it. I know that. But it's pretty. And it says, and on the back of it, it has all of the stations that of WPR.
Yeah, that's really cool. I really like that. Yeah.
Well, you can get yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, Karen in Madison says WPR is an important part of my daily life. I just love hearing from listeners, Larry. It's so nice.
Yeah. Join in with your gift right now. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks so much for joining in today. Larry Mueller here. We're talking today with Chris Hardy. His book is titled Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons, a series. I mean, you could read each chapter, you know, read a chapter that it tells a story. You could put it down if you wanted. I couldn't do that because I was really enjoying. So I kind of started at winter and worked my way right straight through the fall, the next fall, and enjoying it a lot. But you can do it the way I suggested, read it straight through, or you could just read a chapter and feel complete, which is really, really cool. Rosie in Winona, Minnesota has a story for us. We were talking about milking earlier. Rosie, you have a milking story.
Well, sort of. We had the standard barn set up where you had the cows on two sides of the aisle, on either side of the aisle, and the gutter went down behind the cows to take the manure away. And when you walked into the barn, you had basically a bridge over the gutter, so you had to kind of, you didn't have to step over it. It was just part of, you know, part of it. But there was a tunnel underneath that concrete pathway. And Dad was setting up a new chain system so that he could automate it a little bit better than just physically pushing the manure down all the time. And we were trying to get that chain to go through that underpass. And we were working at that for, it seemed like hours. It wasn't, but it seemed like hours. And I was on one side trying to get the piece of wire that was attached to the chain, and we couldn't, it, something was catching underneath that overpass. And we kept on and on and on. And I had a cat, of course, I'm living on a farm, you have lots of cats, and so the cat was there. And this cat was going underneath that walkway back and forth between Dad and I. And I said, you know what? Why don't we tie a string on the cat's tail? So we did. We tied a string on the cat's tail, put it on, Dad put it in on one side, and I called it on the other side. And sure enough, it came right through. I got the string. We tied the string to the rope to the chain, and we got it fixed in just under a few minutes.
Chris?
I love that. That's farm ingenuity right there. You got to use the tools at your disposal. And one of the most valuable tools we had on the farm was baling twine.
Yeah, it got used for everything.
Absolutely. Fixed stanchions, fixed fences, held my pants up, you know.
Rosie, that was a wonderful story. Thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Oh, man. I want to move to spring in your book, because in spring there are lots of changes associated with the temperature season, and you created a fifth season.
I did, you know there are five seasons in Wisconsin, and the fifth season is the season of smud. Snow and mud. It's that season. Thankfully, we're past it now, but it's that season when things begin to thaw and the frost hasn't come out of the ground, but the top layer starts to get soft and it's miserable. And that caller, Larry, reminded me of when she started talking about the barn cleaner, about the story of smud that I told in the book. So one smutty day, Dad and I are standing at the end of the barn, next to the barn cleaner, just talking. And I had a black lab that would whine. This was before I moved back to the farm, and this lab had to come to the farm. She knew when I put my boots on that I was going to the farm, and she loved to run and play. Dad and I are standing at the end of the barn, and underneath the barn cleaner was a large pool of what I called in the book liquid organic matter. And the dog comes running, almost knocks us down, and takes a flying leap into the middle of the pool and starts chomping at it with her mouth. And she gets out and shakes off and looks at us. And of course, I rhetorically asked, "Alex, what did you do?" And she looked at me and dove right back in.
And this is not when you were on the farm, so you had to clean.
I did. So the last trip always before we returned home was the milk house, where I kept a bottle of dog shampoo at the farm that I would then just lather that dog up and rinse her off and to try to bring her home without smelling like the barn had come with her.
That and the way you write it and tell it is even funnier than us talking about it right now. You know, the rhythm of life, never perfect. And you talked about caring for sheep. And some people might think of sheep as, you know, pristine, white, fuzzy creatures.
Yes.
The reality is can be a little different from that.
Yeah, it certainly can be. And you know, as we were talking, Larry, a lot of my stories are kind of humorous, and you know, they're poking fun at myself, or you know, just the funny moments in life. And this was one where we had. Spring was always the birthing season, and so we would be busy keeping an eye on our ewes and making sure that they had safe births. And we had a lamb that was born that was unable to survive. It was sick and was suffering, and I had to put that lamb down. Yeah. Never always my least favorite job on the farm. But you're entrusted to be a caretaker of those animals, and you do not want your animals to suffer. And so I wrote this story, and it's a little spiritual in nature.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, that you know, we are called to be shepherds, and I never knew really what being a shepherd was like. A lot of references in the Bible to that until we became shepherds of our own sheep and kind of realized that sheep do answer your call and they do follow you. And when you're a shepherd of the sheep, you have this enormous responsibility to take care of the flock. And it was a somber moment for me because it's a light, you know, we had a birth and then we have a death. And I tried to put some perspective on that's a little like life. You know, we go through good times and we go through bad times. But the positive thing was I had to go to work that morning and I got a call from my wife, Sherry, and she said that we had a ewe that had delivered a nice, healthy set of twins. And so, you know, the life is, it's not easy.
No.
But to get that call that we had new life again was uplifting for me personally.
Chris Hardy, our guest today, his book, Back Home Country Tales Through the Season. Talking with him during our spring member drive, and Kate Archer Kent back with me. And your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. And I hope you'll make a contribution right now as we get to the top of the hour, closing in on it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if not, there is time, no times like the present, to fund the independent journalism and these meaningful, heartfelt conversations that you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio. You choose the amount, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So much enjoying talking with Chris Hardy today. We talk with a lot of authors, and we cover a whole variety of topics. And I hope your life is enriched a bit. And I hope and know that our programming is very unique to public radio. And we're listener-supported. That's also kind of unique. If you have a chance, I would hope you would do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Support the programs you count on. Become a sustainer. You can make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card.
And that's easy to do. Month to month, you'll be supporting the programs you love, and that's going to feel great. I know that for sure. So pick an amount that works for you. $10 a month, let's say, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org. Or you can phone 888-202-2552. And here we are coming up to the top of the hour. And I wanted to just make one final comment. We have so much fun putting on our programs. And it's, I'm telling you, for me, it's such a joy to be able to read a book like Chris's book and to be able to share it with you. If these kind of programs work well for you, I hope you'll join us by giving at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. And we'll be back with Chris after the news. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're talking with Chris Hardy about his wonderful book, Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons. And we're doing it during our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive, Larry Mueller, with Kate Archer Kent. And I'm here to tell you, your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of our funding for our shows. So I hope you'll step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yes, please step up. Member drives, they are in a really important time to make sure the funding is in place for the news and the information you rely on from WPR. Your gift funds the Larry Mueller Show, as well as all the other WPR shows you value. So give now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
Funding for public media has certainly been in the news recently, and we want you to know that while all funding is important, voluntary listener contributions make up the largest and most reliable source of our funding.
That means your support is vital to keep Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
You don't want to think that you don't have to support WPR because somebody else is doing it. WPR has been around for years because thousands of people have made that decision to support something that's important to them.
So now it's time for you to make that decision. Many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose what works best for you. Give now. It's time now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Be entered in a drawing for a WPR prize pack when you make a gift for any amount for the WPR programs you rely on. 10 lucky winners will receive
apparel,
a puzzle,
a mug, other WPR swag.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. You can find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. Get in on the WPR prize pack drawing with your gift now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org and make your contribution, or you can phone 888-202-2552. During our spring member drive, I'm Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent, and listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows. And that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
And giving to WPR, it's really easy. It takes just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And the math works out. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard on WPR. If you paid a dime for each one of them, that would work out to just about $10 a month. Make a gift now of $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it'll also get you into the drawing for the WPR prize pack. As a matter of fact, 10 lucky winners will receive an exciting assortment of WPR gear and a Wisconsin State Park pass. Your gift, any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Gets you into the drawing. And of course, if you're a sustainer, you're automatically entered. But we do welcome your extra gift.
And how about add that latest WPR t-shirt into your wardrobe mix? It is soft and stylish, and you'll let everyone know you're a WPR listener. So ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I can just picture the two of us. Romping through the studios here.
Romping, okay. Yeah.
Well, hand in hand with wearing our WPR t-shirts.
Yep.
And I don't think your husband is mine.
I don't think so either, Larry.
But I bring this up because as you listen to us talk, I want you to picture yourself in the T-shirt, and you're walking down the street, and somebody
romping
says,
"Romping through your community."
Romping through your community, and somebody says, "Oh, well, that's a nice T-shirt. What's that about?" And you say, "Well, I contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio,
and they sent me
a T-shirt because
of it." It's the most Wisconsin T-shirt I've seen in a long time. There's a ton of Wisconsin on it, so you will definitely be showing you're from here.
Yep, and you can get one, $20 a month at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Michael in Milwaukee says there are so many enriching moments that WPR brings to the table. Michael, thank you so much for that comment. And we do our best here, right, Larry?
Yeah, we do our best. And I hope our best is good enough for you to contribute. It's very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. As we now turn our attention back to Chris Hardy and his book, Back Home, Country Tales Through the Season. Sometimes it's uproariously funny. Sometimes it's reflective. Sometimes you get a little sad, maybe even, reading what he has to say. Every chapter tells a story about his life, especially on the farm. And always great to talk to authors who can make that happen for me. You know, lilacs. Here we are getting into the lilac season, and thankfully this the aroma of lilacs makes its way into my senses all the time, and it made its way into your farm. And I was really intrigued. You have, you know, as a almost a, like a sidebar story within the story, you talk about the history of lilacs. Can you tell us more? Tell us a bit about lilacs. I did not know, for example, they were related to olives.
Yeah, you know, and that's. So the story about lilacs, and you just captured it, Larry, that smell of lilacs to me is the essence of spring. I mean, and, you know, that's usually on our farm mid to end May. Yeah. And some years we don't get lilacs because we get a hard frost and it wipes them out. So I appreciate the years when we get them. And the stand of lilacs that we have, I dug up from an old homestead that we used to own and transplanted them. And when I was writing about lilacs, you know, I do try to be informed when I write. And so I thought, you know, what's the deal with lilacs? I know they're really hardy. You know, you can dig them up and just a shred of root and they'll take. You know, I discovered that that lilacs come from the Middle East and the European Balkan countries because that's where they first were cultivated, and that you can follow history trading routes by where the lilacs were planted. And then when it comes to North America, you know, some of our founding fathers like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew lilacs. And, you know, when you drive around the countryside and you see lilacs maybe in the edge of a field or something like that, chances are there was once a homestead there because they last for generations and generations. And
they had to have been planted.
Yeah, they had to have been planted. They're not native. So you know that somebody took the time to plant them.
And I thought your comment that lilac is the word lilac is a Persian word, means bluish, which I thought was pretty cool as well. And your comment, if you see a stand of lilacs, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. It's fun to be able to think, well, they were planted by somebody. Was there a farmstead there? Was there a homestead there? What went on? It's pretty cool. Well, let's get to summer, because summer is a fun time in a lot of ways. Busy time on the farm, but there was a lot of work connected with it. And I think your writing skills were on display when you wrote about making hay. Nothing Easy About Making Hay, I think, was the title. And working in the heat with hay.
Yes. This was one where I definitely had fun. This was putting up small square bales. That's how I grew up on the farm, and I still put up small squares when we moved back to the farm. A lot easier to feed a small flock of animals, not having to deal with moving big bales with tractors. But there's a lot of labor that becomes involved in putting up small square bales of hay. And in this particular story, I kind of talked about the fact that we had I had a hay wagon with a flat tire that I had to fix. The tractor wouldn't start. Another tractor started, but we had to pop the clutch to get it going, so we didn't dare let it turn off.
Stop it on a hill if you did.
Yep, stop it on a hill. And I kind of build this story around the famous farm adage, you got to make hay while the sun shines. And then I built that out into say, and it'll be a hot day, because inevitably it is a hot day. And the story proceeds to, I'm unloading hay and there's no one there to help me. And I know that it's going to rain. So I decided, we talked before, sometimes you just do it yourself. So.
Well, you said you had three people helping you.
I did. I had three people. It was me, myself, and I. And the three of us got into an argument about who was it me or myself that was slacking off? I can't remember. But, it was just a fun way of kind of poking fun at myself and you know, got me thinking about the old days when we used to have a lot of us unloading hay. And maybe it was the heat that got to me. I'm not sure, Larry.
I tell you, that was a very, very entertaining piece, for sure. And I also got a kick out of your baseball story. You had a team with you played on a little league team in a field, like a field of dreams.
Yes, it absolutely was a field of dreams. Or maybe nightmares, but. It was actually a baseball little league field that was carved out of a cornfield, and in between summer chores, my dad loved baseball as a kid, and we lost our coach, and so he decided that he was going to become coach of the team, and it was a bunch of farm kids, and we. We hardly practice, which certainly showed on the field, but it was just a fun memories of playing a sport that I really enjoyed and still enjoy to this day. And we never won a game. I think I played for three seasons, Larry, never won a game. We came close a couple times, but just never got that big W. But you know, those memories of playing baseball as a kid and the players around me, I wouldn't trade that in for anything, even for one victory. Yeah. Because it was a special time, and kind of a rare time when you're a farm kid in the summer to do something different than simply working on the farm.
Yeah. And you have a real knack in starting and ending, I mean, all through every story, but you have a really nice way of winding up every story, every chapter in your book. And I loved how you ended that last paragraph I'm not even going to tell people. They should go and read it for themselves. It was something I thought, you know what? That is exactly right. Chris Hardy.
Yeah, thank you.
Back, his book, Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons. And through the seasons, we occasionally have a member drive.
I love the segue.
And here it is, spring. And what do we have in spring? We have a spring member drive. Kate Archer Kent, that's the other voice you just heard. Your support's an essential piece of the funding for the shows that you enjoy here on WPR. And listener support's our biggest source of funding. So this drive is your time to take action and make the programs possible. When you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Through the seasons, yes. Your gift during this spring member drive, it is so important because it directly supports your daily listening and the trustworthy reporting, the thought-provoking conversations that make you laugh and think and make you reflect on Wisconsin. You come here to do that, and it's available thanks to you. So choose an amount and then make your gift at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Really enjoying talking with Chris Hardy about his book, Back Home. It's a wonderful book, and the stories we've been telling today have brought out some comments and I bet you some thoughts in you, perhaps, as you were listening about maybe your own life and your own experiences. How's your life enriched by shows like this that are unique to public radio? We're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Become a sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or your credit card, and it'll continue for as long as you'd like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without. Make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. Convenient and flexible as well. You can get started right now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Around town, at work, out jogging, at the lake. Let people know you're a WPR fan when you wear your new WPR 2025 t-shirt. This comfortable and attractive cotton poly blend shirt has a lavender and orange design on a cream-colored background. It'll be a conversation starter as you work and play here in Wisconsin or anywhere you travel.
I like your shirt. Thank you.
Ask for your t-shirt now when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent. Your support during our drive makes the news, the conversations like this one, entertainment, music, all you enjoy on WPR. The gift of $20 a month or $20 or $10, whatever amount you choose, let's just put it that way, is the right amount.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling your friends and family.
You can? Oh, I guess you could.
Yes, you can. You spread the word.
You could use social media. Let me ponder this. You could use social media. You could call them up on the phone. You could walk by them and just tap them on the shoulder and say, hey.
You're it.
You're it. Tell them to make a gift. Make your gift, though, first at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and then inspire the other WPR fans in your life to do the same.
And remember, today only, we have this drawing for a WPR prize pack. It's 10 lucky people who will win a box of WPR gear that you can keep for yourself, or you can share amongst your friends and family when you talk with them. You'll also receive a Wisconsin State Park pass in that box. Your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, it gets you automatically entered.
And this spring we have that very attractive and comfy and champagne colored, as they say, but I'll say peach.
You
T-shirt.
Do you, Larry Mueller. That's just how it works.
And there's a big kind of a lavender bullseye in the front. And within the bullseye it's a big circle. I should put it that way.
Right.
Not a bullseye. Because there's all these other things. There's cows and there's
Flower. Yeah.
Our state flower. Yeah. I think our state fish, the muskie's in there. It's a pretty cool shirt. And you can ask for yours when you give $20 a month. Or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, Gary in Appleton, did you see what he said?
Yes, I did. The Larry Mueller Show is a wealth of information on a daily basis. I love that, Larry.
I love it, too. What about you? Join with your gift right now. Powerful really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks for joining in today. Larry Mueller here talking with Chris Hardy about his book, Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons. And Chris actually produced, to give you an example of his writing and his writing style, we thought it'd be fun to play a Wisconsin Life piece that was produced. It's titled, and it's from Chris's book, it's titled The Last Hunting Season. So let's listen to that.
Dad sipped coffee poured from his dented thermos as we watched a large gray squirrel scamper up a nearby tree. We were sitting in a deer stand overlooking two fields. It was late morning, November 23rd, 2019, the opening day of the Wisconsin gun deer hunting season. It was the 70th season Dad was participating in the annual hunt. We knew it was going to be his last. Dad's mobility and mental alertness had been declining for several years. Dad was an expert hunter. He knew the farm like the back of his hand. He never built a deer stand, but always sat in the same valley where deer frequently crossed. As the landscape changed, he would move his spot, but he always got a deer, and it was usually the biggest buck taken that year from the farm. Over the past 4 or 5 years, Dad hasn't gotten a deer. He never even took a shot, but it was still important for him to be in the woods, especially on opening day. We didn't want him hunting alone. Russ started the morning by driving Dad to the stand and sitting with him for the first few hours. I came over in the late morning. "What kind of tree is that?" Dad asked, pointing to a nearby gnarly bur oak. He knew trees. "But not today." "I think that's a bur oak," I replied. "Oh, sure," he nodded in agreement. The fields we overlooked were cleared by my great-grandfather. Dad had told me the story many times, but I wanted to hear it again. "Weren't these fields cleared by Grandpa Ray?" I asked. "Yes, they were," he said. "They used a stump puller and dragged the stumps out with a stone boat. Can you imagine how hard that had to be?" For a few moments, it was like the old days. A father and a son sitting together in the cold November woods, sharing a bond that transcends simply pulling the trigger of a gun. Like the second day of the season in 1978, when Dad insisted that I hunt from his stand and I shot my first buck. I was just finishing the field dressing when Dad walked down the hill. "You got one," he said in his matter-of-fact style. "It's not that big," I replied, mentally comparing the single antlers to the eight-pointer they had shot the previous morning. "No, it's a nice one," he said with a smile. A load was lifted from my shoulders. I was no longer the buck fever kid who couldn't shoot. As I stood there with my father just less than a month removed from my 15th birthday, I felt like a man. So many memories. So many stories. Dad fell silent. "What kind of tree is that?" he asked, pointing to the same tree that we had discussed 20 minutes ago. "I think it's a bur oak, Dad," I said, turning my face away to wipe my moistening eyes. "Oh, sure," he said. A little while later, Dad said he wanted to watch the Wisconsin Badgers football game. I gave him a ride in the truck, and he settled into his easy chair. Dad's last hunting season was over. Dad always said that when it was his time to go, he wanted it to be in the woods under his favorite tree. He didn't exactly get his wish, but he did die at home. My 46th hunting season this year will be sad because my hunting partner and mentor is gone. The woods will seem empty, but Dad will be there nevertheless because his memories and stories remain.
What a wonderful piece. What a wonderful piece, Chris. And your father made several appearances in your book.
He did.
Talk about how your father maybe helped make you the person you are today.
So Dad was, he wasn't a traditional farmer, if there is such a thing. He actually was a mining engineer. He graduated from UW-Platteville with a degree in engineering. And when I was, till I was 6 years old, we lived in a suburb of Milwaukee. And Dad decided he had enough of the rat race and he wanted to move back to the family farm. And so he moved the family back there and went into partnership with his great uncle on the farm. Dad was a big, kind of a gruff guy, extremely intelligent, and he had a huge impact on me because his just kind of his style and his straightforward, matter-of-fact approach to things. And I told that story because we were always so busy. Deer hunting was one of the few times per year that we actually got a chance to sit down together and kind of talk father to son. And that's what always made it real important to me. And I'm pleased to say that my son hunts with me and now my grandsons hunt with me. And so we've kind of carried on that family tradition that was started many years ago.
Really, really cool. Well, I want to take us back to summer a bit, and partly because Helen in West Salem is with us and has a story, I think, to tell us about hay. Helen?
Yes. This was before the time of hay bales, and we had a hay rack, and it was my job as a little girl to tramp the hay that my brothers threw on the rack. And of course, it was the rack was being pulled by horses. So this was way back before tractors and hay bales. But that's my story, tramping that hay. And it was always beastly hot, of course. But, you know, that's what I had to do.
Helen, thank you. A comment, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Helen. So in my hay barn, I still have the hay forks hanging on the wall and the pulley system suspended from the roof that was used in that that hay wagon would have been backed into the barn and those hooks would have been the forks dropped from the ceiling. And that's how it was done in those old days. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, I remember that when the fork would come down and pick the hay up, and when it hit the top, it would very quickly skim across the top of the barn and drop the hay where, I was too little. I was just, at that point, I was just watching and kind of in awe. I didn't even know how it was all working, but my dad did, that's for sure. Well, we have a couple of, several comments. Gino from Denmark couldn't stay with us. He remembers milking cows with his sister. And one June, the cows were eating fresh hay. He was milking one cow, and his sister made the move to milk the cow beside him. as she walked behind the cow, it coughed and lifted its tail. Well, the side of her head was sprayed with runny organic matter, and Gino still laughs about this today. It reminds me of my friend Michael Perry, who's has a story about in a book, I think, called, you know, Don't Walk Behind a Sneezing Cow.
Yep, that was always the risk, particularly during that. If it would have been the first pasture or something that changed their diet, they could get a little runny.
And another relating to one of the other stories we were talking about, lilacs, Mike emailed us and says, one spring, a contractor dug up a lilac bush at the corner of his house. The basketball-sized root ball lay off to the side in the hot sun all summer. In the fall, Mike planted it, and it's been thriving ever since.
I knew they were tough plants, but boy, that's the ultimate test.
Oh, man, that is such a great story to go along. And you can join in, too. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@wpr.org. We'll turn our attention for just a couple minutes to talk with you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive, because Kate Archer Kent's with me again, and...
Hello, hello.
Oh, it's good to see your smiling face, always.
I'm enjoying the conversation, Larry. I am chilling and listening to Larry Mueller Show.
Wasn't that a cool piece?
That was really neat. Oh, I just started tearing up. But that's what you do when you listen to WPR. You get these moments where... Oh, it just goes right to the heart. I love it.
And right now would be a good chance for you to consider your heart and consider supporting the programs that you enjoy. You can give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Here's the thing. WPR is listener-powered, and it means your support makes WPR's news and these conversations and all the weekend fun available, not only for yourself, but the entire community. So thank you so much for making WPR's public service mission possible. And just cheers to you with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Probably found yourself maybe kind of hovering near the radio or your phone app, drawn into a great discussion. You need to get somewhere, but that discussion is maybe too interesting to ignore. Maybe you appreciate the host questions and the guest's knowledge.
Yes.
I've done it many times. WPR is your source for compelling conversations, so support it now with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Here's the thing. Everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for streaming services or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day, so put a value on it, like the other things that are important to you. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I'm Margo Potacek, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
And I'm Betty Potacek from Madison. If we want to keep Wisconsin Public Radio, we have to support it.
There have been times when I haven't been able to give, even between the time I was a student and now. Even if you're able to give a little bit, I think that makes a big difference. And the sustaining membership, where automatically every month it comes out of your checking account, you don't notice it so much that way. And it's super easy, and I think it makes a difference.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation during our drive here. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer-Kent. Join in with your gift right now, because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community, frankly, thanks to your support.
And if you've never given to WPR before, we're especially talking to you in this moment, in this drive. We have other ways of contacting our existing members, but the best way we have to contact you, the listener who hasn't given yet, is through these drives.
And if you've been listening for weeks, maybe months, years, and haven't donated before, let's make today the day you become a WPR member. You'll feel great when you support the station you rely on. And WPR programs will benefit certainly from your contribution. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Be sure to get in on that drawing for a WPR prize pack. 10 lucky winners will get this assortment of WPR gear straight from Larry Mueller's closet. No, no, no. That's not it. Not it at all.
I should autograph a few.
You should. You should. Your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It enters you into that drawing. There is a Wisconsin State Park pass in that prize pack. Sustainers, we appreciate you so much. You're automatically entered, and we absolutely do welcome your extra gift.
Now, that's a drawing, and there's 10 chances, but there is one sure way to get some WPR swag.
Sure is. Yeah,
there sure is. That WPR T-shirt is soft and stylish. It looks great, and you can ask for yours when you give $20 a month, and we'll send you one for sure at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
How about become a sustaining member while you're at it? It is really easy to start. You're going to make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in relation to that, Mike in Egg Harbor said, I've been listening to WPR since 1963, and it's an honor to be a sustaining member. Thank
you,
Mike.
That's awesome. How many years has it been for you, Larry, on the air?
55-ish? 57, I think.
57. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's 57.
Wow. Wow.
So that's a lot of time.
That's so good.
I don't know
it.
How many thousand shows that is. I have to do the math on that. I don't know, maybe.
Think of all the material.
Oh, my goodness. 250 shows a year times 2 or 3 topics a day.
Wow.
Pop, 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 pop. 13,000? Something like that? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter how many times I've been on the air. What does matter is that you are listening to us on the air. And I hope you'll come forward with a gift right now. Very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 as we talk today with our guest, Chris Hardy. Chris's book, you got to take a look at it and read it. It's Back Home, Country Tales Through the Season. He is a really good writer. And Madeline in Oneida, on the Oneida Reservation, has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Madeline.
Hello, Larry. I love your show.
Thank you.
But anyway, I was born and raised in my parents' farmhouse located on Moore Road in the heart of the Oneida Reservation. And the lady that talked about leading the horses and the hay wagon brought back memories because that was my job when I was a little girl. Someone would holler and tell me to bring the horses forward, and the rope with the fork in the hay would pull the hay up to the ceiling of the loft, and it would glide down to the middle of the barn, and then they would pull a rope and it would let the hay go.
Yep.
And someone would holler and tell me when to stop the horses. My mother had a beautiful flower garden on both sides of the driveway, and that included 2 large lilac bushes. So all those things those people were talking about bring back beautiful memories.
Oh, Madeline, thank you. Chris, you've had the book out since last year.
Yeah.
And you've talked to a lot of people who've read the book.
Have.
Do you get that kind of experience? I mean, Madeline so eloquently talked about her own memory.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, Madeline. That is exactly the kind of reaction that I get from people because sometimes it brings back a memory they hadn't thought about for years. And all of a sudden they say, I remember when that happened. And you know, like I said earlier, so much of our state's history is tied to our farming community. And when you think back 75, even 50 years ago, we had a lot more farms dotting the state, and so many more people that grew up with that environment. It's just built into our culture.
Yeah. Marty in West Salem, let's give you a chance. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Larry. I love the show, and I love your guest because I'm a personal friend of Chris and Sherry and the whole family, so it's great to listen to your show today. I can't wait to buy Chris's book, and I probably should have already, and hoping to recognize some of the stories as maybe there's a story or two about a woodchuck and his dad and something of that nature. Maybe that's a sequel that'll come. But one of the things that Chris and his family has always done is just been great friends, but also allowed me to come out there and create my own memories. And I knew his dad, Bob, and his dad was very similar to my dad. And I recently lost my dad in February. And 1 year, because I'm from Iowa, I never had a chance to deer hunt with my dad. And 1 year in my dad's later years, I had the opportunity to take him out there and go deer hunting. And it was just, we never shot a deer. We just spent the whole day together. So to hear Chris talk about that, to know his dad, to know the type of people they are, to just be able to create my own memory and probably not a book in the future, it's very meaningful to me and very relative. I love hearing Chris talk about his dad because it's very similar to the way I grew up. So keep telling your stories, Chris. I can't wait to read the rest of the book.
Oh, Marty, thanks so much. Chris, a comment?
Yeah, thanks, Marty. It's all about making memories and making those connections. And I look forward to talking to you when we see you the next time.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that call. Other stories that we haven't talked about that we still have a couple of minutes anyway to talk. So you have a piece on fall titled The Alluring Nature of Autumn.
And yes.
Talk about what autumn means to you and what you write about.
So this story was, you know, again, we talked earlier about where those stories come from. And this story came from during my commute to work. I drove past an abandoned barn, an abandoned farm every day. And it was just, you know, kind of became part of the scenery. And this was an early October day. And this kind of faded red barn sat on just a spectacularly colored hillside. And it was one of those moments where I stopped the car and pulled over to the side of the road to get out to take a picture because it was just so, you know, the lighting was just absolutely gorgeous. And that picture then inspired me to write about autumn. And it's, for me, autumn is, I usually get a little melancholy in the fall because when the trees start to turn and the days grow shorter, it kind of reminds me of my own mortality. And I think about all the things that I didn't get done that year. And I think about how many more years left do I have? And so I wrote about how fall and it's, you know, and the beauty of nature and some of that sadness, but also a little bit about how we should take the time to enjoy the time and the solitude and the beauty that fall brings us.
Yeah, it was a lovely piece. I want to go back to that final story, and I've enjoyed so many of your. I enjoyed all of the pieces, every chapter, but I really laughed till I cried at that final story in your book, titled "Full Moon Faux Pas."
Yes,
which is about a supermoon and your ram, Fergus, your ram. And I don't even know if I'm not sure I want it. It involves, well, let me put it this way. It involves you losing your out at night you're trying to get the ram, Fergus, over to the U-barn, and you wind up losing your pants in the process of this.
That's
full...
correct.
While there was a supermoon, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not even going to let you describe any more of it because I want people to go read it because it would just take away from the hilarity. There is no way, there is no way you can read that chapter and not just laugh out loud or, like me, laugh until you cried. And Chris, it has been a real pleasure. Thanks. Been so much fun talking with you today. I really appreciate it. And thank you very much for being with us today. It's always a delight to find a book like this and an author like you. So thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate the chat and the conversation.
Chris Hardy's book is titled Back Home, Country Tales Through the Seasons is the subtitle. But Back Home, Chris Hardy... you're going to find it. I hope you get a chance to read it. And you might even go immediately to that last chapter. What a really funny, funny story. And you'll like it. And I think you'll like Wisconsin Public Radio, too. And I think you probably like Kate Archer Kent. She does a great job in the morning with her show. And here she is, taking some time out of her own work to come and talk with me and with you about our drive. And, you know, you always hear something interesting, I think, when you tune in.
To the Larry Mueller Show.
Well, to your show, too. But, you know, for both our shows, all of our shows, it's listener support. Listeners provide the largest source of our funding. And when you give... Wisconsin Today and Larry Mueller Show. When you give, those shows and all of our shows are made possible. So go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if not, there is no time like the present to fund the independent journalism and these meaningful conversations that you can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio. You choose the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm going to reread that last chapter again. And I know I'm going to bring from Chris Hardy's book. And I know I'm going to break out laughing again, even when I know what's coming. You know, your life's going to be enriched if you read that book and read that chapter in particular. This kind of program, I think, is a bit unique. And it's listener-supported, and that makes it even more unique in so many ways. And when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So please choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And you listen to WPR month after month, year after year. Now donate the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. You'll make ongoing contributions of, say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
And you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you're supporting the programs you love. So don't delay. Give a sustaining gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for being a WPR listener. And thank you to everyone who is already a member. It is listener support, your support, that makes WPR this unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
Yeah. You know, you've got WPR. Maybe you've got it on your radio. A lot of people have it right in their phones on the app. Support it now. Make WPR... the conversations, the shows, I'm trying to think of all of the different things, the music, the entertainment. It's all possible with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And don't forget about those T-shirts.
Don't forget about the T-shirts. They're great. Purple and orange, Wisconsin-themed design, cream-colored. You'll love the shirt. I want to get in. Lars in Madison says, I always enjoy listening to WPR. And Larry, it's always such a joy to join you here on the show. I really do enjoy it.
We have a lot of fun,
don't
we?
We do. We do. Yep.
And we still even have another minute, which I... We're wrapping up. Thank you so much.